We praise you for winter rain, which freshens up this incredible world that you've given us. Praise be to you, our God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Ephesians. Don't take a seat, just stand there. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You can take a seat. That's awesome. I just love that prayer about passing the driver's test. that's great. Izzy was looking to, she's going to turn 16 in August, and so she asked about getting the booklet to learn from. And I said, Izzy, yes, when you learn the booklet, but this is the number one rule when it comes to driving. This is above all else, don't hit anything. That's just, you know, if you keep to that, generally you're going to be all right, okay? And she's, oh, okay. So she'll get that question right. All right. Friends, we are in this just last few weeks of our series called Only Love. And we have been enjoying unpacking the richness of the truth about God's love for us, what it actually looks like biblically, its importance to us as the church. The church, friends, is the only organization which is defined by love. Every other organization has other goals, right? You know, we've got to get a profit margin. We've got to, you know, kind of reach that group. We've got to do this. But at the very heart of the church, where Jesus Christ is Lord, this very ultimate goal is to love and to be known by its love. And so it's an absolute challenge for us to keep that true. And that's why we can spend so many weeks unpacking this whole idea of love. It reminds me of an illustration which I once heard of a preacher who got up to preach, and he goes forward and his mic's working and he gets to speak and he says, love. And then he goes and he takes his seat and everyone's just sitting there going, well, is that it? The band looks across and he goes, get back up there, and they sing their final song. Next Sunday comes along, he takes a seat, the preacher then comes forward and he says the same word, love. And he goes and takes, everyone's going, gee, well, church is getting shorter. That's not sure that's good or bad, but hey, we're here. Third week comes up, says the same thing, love. By this time now, he's on the door and people are saying, preacher, when are you going to feed us a little more? When are you going to give us something more? He says, well, when you get that right, we'll move on. There's some truth in that, right? I mean, sometimes we want to couch and talk about all sorts of other things, but until we really know how to love with the love of God, and we have that at the very heart of who we are, the DNA of God's people, and we live out of that, then we're not being true to the very God who's given us life and sustains us and speaks to us. Love. Now, I lament that the gospel has in some ways, at times, been distorted and tainted through church history, that things have been done in the name of or under the banner of God's love, which have been so damaging. And we lament that in some ways, at times, that has been distorted and has caused great pain and damage. And we pray for healing for those who have been damaged in that way, which is why we celebrate that through royal commissions and so on, these things have been found out so that the great gospel truth of God's love can be proclaimed in safe and healthy ways. Amen. And so we as a church, we have strong, healthy and safety protocols so that we can talk about this core essence of love in a safe and healthy way. And so we just pray that we'll be able to do that. And we pray for healing for those who might have been hurt through the church's work even some decades ago. So friends, when we live out this whole idea of love as God's people, we're aware that it is actually both the very nature and essence of God, and it is the mission by which he drives us, and in sense is his calling to us. And so the title, even in itself, is that love is a high calling, sits there, and it strikes me that it's a challenge in its own way. It talks about, yes, this whole idea of love and how that is to embody itself, and we see that beautifully in Jesus, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And then this whole idea that it's a high calling, that it is actually something which we are to strive towards, to reach towards, to step up into, and to reach a summit in maturity and love and to live that out. Even as the Ephesians text taught about, we are rooted and grounded in love. It is that something which is very high within us. And of course, the Bible calls this kind of love the most excellent way. It's the greatest of the big three, faith, hope, and love. It sits there and it rises above all others. And then this whole idea of a calling. Well, what's a calling? Well, a calling is that which is an idea that we should have a strong urge to a particular way of life. That actually a calling is to live out the way of life in a way which embodies everything, that it sits at the very heart and action of what we do and who we are. It's a particular way of living. It is a calling. And so we are so challenged by this, and it's so important that we get shaped by the biblical understanding of love so that we can step into this high calling and the way in which God lives at this through us into God's world. Well, I want to make just a few observations here today about how God actually lives out his high calling to us. And then, of course, if we are to reflect God's glory, so the challenge will remain for us to how we seek to embody that and appropriate that within our lives as our high calling as God's people. Now, what I've got is just three ideas here. You'll come up with others, I'm sure. But these are just some which I think are so prominent in Scripture that it's important that we spend some time with it. The first observation as we understand God's love as a high calling is a reflection on the consistency of God. And the word which is often used in Scripture, and particularly in the Psalms, is this word steadfastness. Now, this word steadfastness has a couple other words attributed to it: enduring and unfailing. Have you ever read Psalm 130 and just sat with the depth of that Scripture? There's 26 verses in Psalm 130. And every verse talks something about God's action within his people and how he's been at work. And then once it describes the action, it then has this tagline 26 times, "The steadfast love of the Lord endures forever." It talks about this love which is firm, which you can stand on, which will hold, and has infinity about it. It goes on and on. It is an incredible psalm to have a look at. It talks about the action from God's creative power to deliverance of his people, through to provision for his people, and through all of that is this deep grounding, this solid ground on which to stand, a foundation of God's steadfast love. And I love that because sometimes it just feels that life can be swirling around, that you're looking for a firm foundation to stand on, and God says, well, listen, my steadfast love is here now and it's going to endure forever. And before I go on, I just want to pause and say, there'd be some for you here right now, here this morning, that in the vagaries of life, you need to hear this word, that the steadfast love of the Lord is there for you, that you can stand on it and it will endure and it will surround you and it can hold you. And I encourage you to know this and to maybe just sit with Psalm 130 and let this wash over you. Psalm 107 says the same. Now, what we understand is that this steadfastness of God is something which has been promised for 1,000 generations. We read in Deuteronomy chapter 5 when God has shared the covenant, the Ten Commandments with Moses, and Moses comes and shares it with the Israelite people. He talks about that those who know God's love and his commandments, that they will have this sustaining themselves for that generation and a thousand generations to come. Friends, God is very present in the moment, but he has been working steadfastly forever and ever. I love the fact that we are connected to ancient truths, that there's a wisdom there which we can just know. And when we abide in God's love, we know his steadfastness and it holds us true. The challenge for us then is, if we are to reflect God's love, how are we being steadfast? How are we living that out as our high calling? For to love in a steadfast way is to continue to choose to love. It is to not walk away when it just gets difficult. It is choosing to be present. It is choosing to keep putting your feet down. And those around you need you to be steadfast in your love. Our community needs our church to be steadfast in its love. Our ministries need us to be steadfast in our love. Your spouse needs you to be steadfast in your love. Your kids need you to be steadfast in your love. This is the great grounding of our God, who is unchanging and yet dynamic. He is steadfast. Hold on to that truth as your rock in a very sure way. The second observation, what we see in Scripture is God's great high calling, is using a word which kind of half made up and extended a little bit, you know, creative license here. English is meant to evolve, right? And the word is alongsidedness. Is that a word? We're getting a few nods, a few English majors going, "Con, you can't use a word which doesn't even exist." Can now. You wait for next Webster's Dictionary. There it is. The word I'm using is alongsidedness. Why alongsidedness? Because we have a God who hasn't just dictated on high. He is a God who has come into our midst. And it is a very powerful way in which the God that we love and know, the living God, comes and walks with us. The Scriptures say that God didn't come to judge on high, but to save. Scriptures are clear that he didn't come as a dictator, but he came to empower. He didn't come and then elevate himself to push others down. No, he came alongside and called us friends so that we would know the whisper of his voice, the warmth of his presence, and he would walk alongside of us. You see, alongsidedness is the way in which our God has come and met with us. Through Jesus, we are side by side. In fact, Jesus calls God Abba Father, and we are called to do the same. We are adopted into this family, brothers and sisters, and the Scripture says that we are co-heirs with Christ. What powerful alongsidedness. And I think we would do well to think that not only does God call us to come alongside, but to live our lives in the same sort of way. To come along and along with another and seek to empower another by coming into their proximity with alongsidedness. It is the way of our God. I love it when I see it actually happen, because it just raises the spirits of people. Just yesterday, we had a bunch of basketball games through the heat, and my under 16 girls were ravaged by injury. It was devastating. We couldn't get a team together. We only had 4 players, and we were worried that, you know, how are we going to get through? We called around and nothing could be found for a 5th player. Until the wonderful Nation family, Matthew and James, came up to me and said, "Kynan, I would just let you know that Charlotte is available to play in the team." Now, I took that information on and I thought, okay, there's a few little challenges here. little being the preeminent word. Charlotte is 9. And Charlotte is probably about that high. Now, this is under 16 girls, and we've got some tall timber. And it's literally in the back of my mind, I'm going, I'm not sure how this is going to work. But, like, I appreciated the sentiment. I was trying to be really nice as a pastor, right, and going, oh, thanks for the offer. And in my back of my mind, it's, you know, well, Charlotte can come on. She can just kind of hold that zone. They have to run around her. But, you know, how is she going to go in an under-16s team as a 9-year-old? So I went over to our girls at the court and I said, we've got Charlotte. She can fill in for us. And the girls, by just beautifully, they said, yes, we'll have Charlotte. And I'm going, you sure? Yeah, we'll have Charlotte. And so Charlotte came across. I had Chelsea's singlet, right? And I said, okay, Charlotte, put Chelsea's singlet on. And this kind of went down like a mini skirt, right? Because Chelsea's like this, Charlotte was like this. And I'm going, okay, let's see how it goes. Anyway, the other girls came alongside of Charlotte, brought her into the team. And you could see the stature of Charlotte grow as these cool idol girls had her in the team. And stature got taller, but that was it. But, you know, and in this game, Charlotte scored 4 points. How good's that? Right? And you could see her have an incredible time because the girls came alongside her and empowered her. And she rose up to it. They just included her as part of the team. It was so cool that at the end, when we normally shout heat on 3, 1, 2, 3, heat, they substituted the word heat for Charlotte. Charlotte on 3. 1, 2, 3, Charlotte. It's the power of alongsidedness, friends. And I think about how life actually works, where we raise people up, where we see the best in them, where we are happy to share information. It happens best when we come alongside, just like Jesus did when we were lost, when we needed to be lifted up. It's the high calling of life and of love to be coming alongside. I love the sense of team that we have in our church because it is full of alongsidedness. It's the way that God works. I'm so grateful to hear Nicole said, I can't wait to get alongside of Rachel and Jane and the team, alongside of our families, alongside of our kids. Don't you love that language? Because it empowers, it lifts up and embodies the way that Christ has come into our world. We seek to live alongside of each other. And we've got a little video which talks about mentoring because that indeed embodies this in a very powerful way. Thanks.